Who are you? What is your purpose in life? Do you matter? These are questions most of us ask ourselves during the course of our lives. Chaplain Happy Crater says, how do I define I? He is the host of a new podcast that looks at our relationship with faith and how that in turn guides the principles we live by, and then how do we manifest those principles in our modern secular society. For Crater, these are the questions he asked himself as he reconnected with faith, and he explores it in great detail in his podcast series where he will be engaging with people from diverse spiritual backgrounds. Crater says, I want to talk about what it means to be human and our relationship with something we know is greater than our individual selves, that we are a part of something that is magnificent. We invited Chaplain Happy Crater of PHS to join us for a conversation that matters about our relationship with our faith and how that guides us in our lives.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program of the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the following and viewers like you. Please become a patron at conversationsthatmatter.tv.
For a long time, I've wanted to have this conversation, which is a really igniting and kicking off video podcast series that you're about to host called The Conversation, the podcast, which looks at the role of faith in our lives and how it contributes to our community and ultimately our society and country.
And to our very own selves.
Yes, because yeah. I think that if we are more comfortable with ourselves and our relationship in the world, we are better human beings.
Yeah, and we have a better world.
So what is the connection that you can see between faith? And, you know, I use the word or term somewhat loosely because I don't want to be denominational around this, whether it's within Christianity or any other expression of faith. What is our role with faith, and why is it important that we understand that?
Yeah, and let's stick with the definition of faith for just another moment here, because there's ways in which even the word faith, it is not as inclusive as what I would like to talk about ultimately, or what I'm really the thing that pulls me forward. Faith is a great word for me, but I know that it's for some atheists, they don't feel included when it comes to faith, because in the atheistic definition of faith, it's like belief in something for which there's no proof, and that doesn't wash.
Okay, but, I'm going to jump in. Can't you say that the same is true about atheism? It's still a belief. Like, because where's the proof?
Well, atheism is the absence of belief. But you're right. There is a dogmatic strain of atheism too. And I think actually, when pressed, a lot of atheists sort of say, "Well, the more correct word is agnostic."
Okay.
Because they accept the possibility of, but their best suspicion is that there's nothing.
Okay.
So by then there are some more dogmatic folks who are just like, definitely nothing.
So you can see already that this is going to be a very interesting and challenging topic to make the focus of a whole series.
Yeah, because what I'm really want to talk about is something that I think is fundamental about being human. And maybe even about being a sentient creature. This may even be a function of something that extends to some of our close non-human relatives. But that's a diversion. As far as faith, or let's even use the word spirituality.
Okay.
Although faith is really central, it is really important. I don't want to get too far off of that. But for the moment, let's start with spirituality.
Yeah.
Because spirituality, even for someone who says they're an atheist or doesn't like the word faith, it's still tricky territory. But I think that what we're talking about when we talk about spirituality is the sense that there is something greater than your individual self that is magnificent or beautiful. And this can happen just from looking at the stars at night or observing a sunset. And in fact, it is this sense of the world beyond our skin being having some type of sense or order to it that is sort of the function of spiritual language, is a way to help us connect with the mystery, the self beyond our skin, is one way I would say it.
Well, but I think it also helps to give us some sense of meaning in life. Mm-hmm. I belong to something that is beyond me. And whether I want to look at it as a metaphysical connection or an actual physical connection, there is something that exists beyond me, and I am connected to it. How do I start to define that?
Not only are you connected to it, you depend on it.
Yeah.
Every inside requires an outside. And so the world inside of you depends on the world outside of you. And the idea that they're somehow separate is, I think, potentially really problematic, and is actually, I think, probably responsible for a lot of our feelings of disconnection and lack of wellness that also leads to, you know, enmity and conflict in our societies and culture. The sense that I am an individual stranger here in this world I never made, to quote Hausman, I think. But as opposed to, I emanate from the world outside of me. I am an expression of this thing. And then the role of spirituality and faith, it can help imbue you with meaning. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But ultimately, that turns out to be a question that in the final accounting, whatever the cultural influences and external influences, it's a very personal question.
Yes.
Right? And it's a question that you ultimately answer for yourself, mm-hmm. or in collaboration with your higher power. But I would also again say that that is a distinction that is somewhat false, because what is it to be a human? What are you? Mm-hmm. And this is part of the series that we want to launch here, the conversation, the podcast. What do you mean when you say I? Mm-hmm. What is I? And yes, it is, I am a thing in a body. I am this animated, energetic kind of biological profusion of matter. Mm-hmm. That's one way that I identify myself, and so do we all. But it's also possible to notice that you depend on this world outside your skin, or like I have said, the self outside your skin. Mm-hmm. And so I actually tend to think of myself, and actually of all of life, as the expression of life itself. You are life itself in a particular form. And just that, like the waves on the ocean arise from the ocean and return to the ocean, they're never not the ocean. They're an expression of the ocean. And so are you and I expressions of the universe, or of life itself, or this thing that is actually beyond our ability to name it.
We are individual expressions of that, though. And the way that we manifest as human beings has an impact. It has an impact on others. Mm-hmm. It has an impact on our immediate environment, and by extension, right out into the universe. Mm-hmm. So it does matter that we are who we are.
Yes.
In this manifestation for now. Yeah. Knowing that you're not going to stay there forever.
Right. Yeah. No. And and in fact, mm-hmm. you've only just got here.
Yeah.
And you're already on your way out. But it is very important, and this is also another mm-hmm. piece that I think is missing, and certainly I see it in my work with people who experience grave dispossession mm-hmm. in our society, because I work with street entrenched and homeless people.
Okay, there are going to be a couple of people who are watching this right now going, hang on a second, who are you? What gives you this position to be able to speak with any kind of authority on this topic?
Well, it's not my credentials that give me the authority to speak on this topic, but my credentials are that I am a spiritual caregiver, the spiritual care director is a term that is sometimes used, but I'm a chaplain for PHS Community Services, which is principally a housing organization, but an organization that contributes to the community of the downtown east side of
That's
Vancouver.
The Portland Housing Society, correct?
Right? Yeah, yeah, originally the Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the PHS offers not only, you know, supportive housing, but also operates safe consumption sites, including North America's first safe injection site inside,
yes,
and a number of other social projects, and has a medical clinic. And and I'm one of the people who is in place to provide spiritual care,
mm-hmm,
in the form of relationship building principally, and also I facilitate memorial services and a number of other traditional spiritual.
So what happened in your life that drew you to be in this place where you are providing this kind of compassionate care for people, and that you now choose to explore publicly with others what role faith plays in their lives and how it influences their guiding principles and how it fits into our multicultural society?
Well, mm-hmm, how I ended up here is completely unpredictable. Just like the way you ended up there.
Yeah.
And or the way anybody watching or listening to this will notice that it's incredibly unlikely that you should be sitting here watching this on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It requires an extraordinarily unlikely series of events, which is that your parents had to meet and their parents had to meet and so on. And,
yeah.
And so how did I get here? Well, my story, I grew up, my spiritual history is that I actually grew up Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And at 10 years old, I had an apostasy and I became essentially a 10-year-old atheist,
mm-hmm,
which was an identity I cultivated and really connected with for about almost 3 decades after.
Wow.
That. But I had an interest in the esoteric and I had an interest in spirituality, and because my Christian faith as a child was very important to me, and this paradigm shift was really disruptive, and I never really knew what would replace it, or I actually didn't think it was necessary to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just living in I found myself living in a meaningless universe, which I found very depressing.
Yeah.
But gradually, as I started to heal my mental health through, you know, a series of practices, including meditation, a study of spiritual scriptures, the use of psychedelics, and more. I gradually was able to relinquish my aversion to using spiritual language. But actually what I discovered was that reality is transcendent of language. What we put into words, that's a symbolic representation of something. It's not the thing. You know, the word cup is not the cup. And the word table is not the table. But this is how we try to codify the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we as such, we construct the meaning of our lives in this language. So that's very important. But at the same time, I think because we construct our meaning from this language, we get very attached to the language. And we can forget that there's so much that is transcendent of our symbolic ability to reckon with it, that it's... We lose track of the mysterious. We lose track of that which is eternal, which is, mm-hmm, to say transcendent, not only of language, but of any categorization of space, time, and thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we do not see the world under a floodlight. We see it through a spotlight and a pinhole-sized one at that is coming from this shape and form. So anyway, in the midst of this awakening, I was invited to be the successor to the previous chaplain of the PHS.
Very well respected man.
Yeah. Al McKay is just a fabulous guy who has devoted his life to being of service to others. And the interesting thing about my relationship with Al is that he, although he is draws from the Christian tradition, and our conversations about spirituality over the years of getting to know each other would have left him with the impression that I did not draw heavily from the Christian tradition, he selected me to be his successor. Based on his observance of my relationships in the community. And for him, this is something so beautiful that he has transmitted to me, which is that the essence of the Creator is relationship. And because he could see in me how I engage, and I guess how I really prize and honor relationship, he saw fit to say, hey, have you ever considered becoming a chaplain? Which is a question that went right over my head, because I was like, in no way do I qualify to be a chaplain. Yeah. But that was the beginning of this journey that has landed me in the position that I am now.
Yeah.
And my goal as a chaplain, as a spiritual caregiver, is to provide a kind of ministry that is totally inclusive. Everybody welcome. And this is getting back to what you were saying about how important it is that we are individual expressions of the universe, because you, Stu, are the most precious thing in the universe.
As are you.
Exactly right. In a billion galaxies, you will never find another Stu McNish.
Right.
And so this is the other component of my what is my spiritual service, which is to understand that, yes, not only are you of this thing, but you are a singularly precious expression of this one thing at the same time as you are the whole thing.
You know, so full disclosure here, the program, The Conversation, the podcast, is a collaboration between you and I, because it came out of conversations that we started to have, and I saw you as being a very like-minded thinker to me. And I have found, you know, in asking you the question, how did we arrive at this point? We arrived at this point because it came out of nowhere as a thought in my mind. And I kept thinking, why am I being constantly pulled to ask this question? What role faith in our lives, in our society, in our country, in our world? And it's as though we were magnets drawn together. And there's your ability to connect with people and to express how we're feeling without alienating people, I find remarkable.
Oh, thank you.
But what made this happen? I don't have the answer. And I'm not coming at it from a place where I'm devoutly attached to any one faith. As a matter of fact, I was far more agnostic, even though I believed in the interconnectedness of the world and the universe. I wasn't coming at it from a place of faith, and yet I'm drawn to it. And I think I'm not alone. And as I talked to a wide variety of people from different faiths and said, what do you think of this? And how do we make us all come together in this great country that we call Canada, and somehow, despite the fact that we have different expressions of faith, we're figuring out how to make it work in harmony.
So then this brings us back to the very first question, which is about faith.
Yes.
And so when I think of faith, I don't think of it in those terms of, well, it's a belief in something for which there is no proof. It's to be in good faith is a kind of optimism, but it's the kind of optimism of like, if I plant a seed and I water that seed, from that seed will grow some kind of life. And if you plant a mango seed, a mango tree will grow. I really kind of wrestled this as I was in this state of spiritual becoming, which I still am, of course, but in the early stages of wondering how I would reckon what had been this atheist identity with this longing for spiritual connection. And I don't identify myself as an atheist now, or I think of myself as really primarily as an individual who belongs to this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And all of its expressions of faith. And there's something to offer at the smorgasbord of tradition. I don't feel compelled to just eat from the one dish at the smorgasbord. If you do, that's great. But there's a whole bunch here.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the role of faith and me grappling with what is it to have faith, I made a choice, which was just to have faith that life is good. And at first it was that simple. And then I have, you know, I've actually in my work really accumulated evidence that this is something fundamental to human being. I see on a daily basis people who persist in life and cling to life. And I have seen it in my family through medical illnesses and various catastrophes. There is something so deep and so innate in us that loves life, that longs for life, that longs to see our loved ones, even when we are at our maybe at a point of despair where we do not feel life is tenable for us, there is still a longing for the wellness or the persistence of our loved ones. So there is this fundamental love of life, this recognition that life is good. And so connecting with that, that is sort of where my faith was originally grounded. And then I've come to see these beautiful expressions of spirituality, of faith and religion and tradition. These are, to me, it's poetry.
Mm-hmm.
This is songwriting. This is a way to celebrate and explore. None of it actually will reveal the divine mystery, but it is all there to point you in the direction of your exploration. And so on.
Well, and hopefully people who are on that journey will tune in and watch your cast, because I think that it will provide them with a great number of insights and they'll be able to see life from a variety of perspectives. Thanks for coming in and sharing this, and we really look forward to seeing the cast once it's out.
Yeah, thanks for having me.